The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Matris. Vayidaber Moshe el Roshei HaMatris Divnei Yisrael Emor. And Moshe said to the heads of the tribes, saying, Zeh hadover asher tzivo Hashem, this is what Hashem has commanded. Ish ki yido neder l'Hashem, o ishov ha-shvua le'asor isor al nafshoi. A person who takes a neder to Hashem, a vow, or he makes a shvua, an oath, le'asor isor al nafshoi, to forbid to himself something which is usually not forbidden, something which the Torah has permitted, he is forbidding to himself. Lo yachel dvorei kechol ha'yetzim mipiv yaseh. Lo yachel dvorei means that he shall not break his words. Kechol ha'yetzim mipiv yaseh. Whatever comes out of his mouth, he shall do. He shall fulfill. From here we learn that there is a mitzvah leisaseh and a mitzvah eseh, a negative commandment and a positive commandment, that a person must keep his word. And this is referring specifically when he takes a neder or a shvua. This means when he takes an oath. Generally, it's not good to take oaths, the Gemara says. It's better you shouldn't take nedarim. We only take nedarim if it's absolutely necessary. But if a person does make a neder, this is or a shvua, he swears by the name of Hashem, then there is a positive commandment and a negative commandment that he must keep what he says. If he does not, then he transgresses the mitzvah leisaseh of leyachel devorei and the mitzvah essay of kechola yitzei mipiv yaseh, that whatever comes out of his mouth he shall keep. Rashi adds to this, what does it mean leyachel devorei? We said leyachel devorei means that he should not break his word, but what does the word yachel mean? So Rashi tells us, the word yachel comes from the word chulin, yichalel. Yichalel means to desecrate. The word chulin means something which is not sanctified, something which is ordinary. For example, like we say, Hamadil bein chol lekodesh, bein kodesh lechol, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu distinguished between what is sanctified and what is ordinary. So therefore, lo yechalel dvorei means lo yaseh dvorev chulin, that you shall not make chulin, you shall not take your words and make something ordinary out of them. This tells us further something, that a person's words are kodesh, are sanctified. When a person says something, has a kedusha, has a sanctity. And if he's not going to keep what he says, so he's been mechalel dvorei. He's desecrating the kedusha, the sanctity of his words. Actually, the word chulin, what is the sheirish, the source of the word chulin? There I once heard the name of the old Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe Yemeir Zochei Levrocha, that it comes from the word cholol. The word cholol means empty, a vacuum. Because something that's kodesh has something in it. Something which is ordinary lacks that special degree of sanctity. So there's like a voidness, a vacuum. In other words, what you're doing is you're deflating your words. If a person says something and he doesn't keep what he says, he's deflating the kedusha, the sanctity from the words. This mitzvah here is referring, as mentioned, dafke, only if he takes the vow or the oath where it becomes technically a vow and an oath. And therefore we're not speaking where people just speak generally. However, the quality of emes, of truth, this is a quality, this is a mila, this is a level that our sages speak about very, very greatly. How a Jew must be careful to guard the emes, to guard whatever comes out of his mouth. And let's spend some time this evening going into this concept. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, in Perek Abayna, Daf Kuf Dalet. Amri Lei Rabbonan Reb Shua Ben Levi. The Rabbonan said to Reb Shua Ben Levi, Osu Dadaki Ho Inna Lebe Midrosho. Today, a man came into the Beis HaMedrash, a young man, Va Omru Mili Da Filu Bime Yeshua Ben Nun Lei Itmar Kavosayu. And he said, he taught such things that even during the days of Reb Shua, of Yeshua Ben Nun, of Yeshua, the great disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu, you would not be able to hear such words. What did he say? He darshaned, he expounded every letter of the Aleph Beis. He took the Aleph and he took the Beis and the Gimel and the Dalet, and he explained why is the Aleph built like this, and why is the Beis built like this, and why does the Beis come after the Aleph, and the Aleph comes before the Beis, and why does the Gimel turn towards the Dalet, and the Dalet turns away from the Gimel. And he went through the entire alphabet. This evening we don't have time to go through the entire Gemara, the entire alphabet, but we'll just take what's relevant to our subject. When he came, when he came to the Sheen, he said, Sheen, Sheker. The Sheen stands for Sheker, for deceit. The Tof stands for Emes, truth. The Sheen stands for Sheker because Sheker is spelled with a Sheen, Kuf Resh. And therefore, Sheen is the first letter of Sheker, of deceit, of falsehood. The Tof stands for Emes because Emes is Aleph Mem Tof. The last letter of the Emes is the Tof. Then he asked, My time of Sheker Makarvin Milei, Emes Merachko Milei? Why do we find that Sheker, the word Sheker, is made up of three letters that come right after each other? The word Sheker, Shin Kuf Resh, is made up of these three letters which follow one another in the alphabet. Kuf Resh Shin. So the word Sheker is made up of three letters which come immediately next to each other. Emes is Merachke Milei. The word Emes is made up of three letters which are far away from each other. It's made up of the Aleph, which is the first letter, the Mem, which is the middle letter of the alphabet, and the Sof, which is the last letter of the alphabet. Not only are these three letters far away from each other, they're the furthest possible. The furthest possible letters that you find in the alphabet are the Aleph, the Mem, and the Tof. And this he answered, Shikra Shchiach, Kushtalei Shchiach. Because Sheker, deceit, is something which is very common. Since it's very common, therefore it's made up of letters which are right next to each other. It can be found easily. Kushta, truth, Leishchiach. The truth cannot be found so easily. The truth is very difficult to find. So therefore it's made up of letters which are far apart from each other. Then he asked another question. Why is Sheker, deceit, it stands on one foot? If you draw a line under the Shin Kuf Resh, so you'll see the regal, the foot of the Kuf, comes down the lowest. So it will be standing just on one foot. The Emes, Malavin Levune, while Emes, truth, is like a row of bricks, because under the Aleph, there are two legs that come down even. Under the Mem, there's a complete base. And under the Tof, there are two legs. So Emes has a foundation which is like a brick wall, while Sheker is only on one foot. Why? To teach us kushtekoi shikra lekoi. The truth will stand, and falsehood, lies, will not stand. This is what he taught us. Now let's examine this piece of Gemara. He taught us three principles. The first principle is that Sheen in the alphabet stands for Sheker, and Tov stands for Emes. The second principle is Sheker is made up of letters which come right next to each other in the alphabet, to teach us that Sheker can be easily found, and Emes is made up of letters which are to the extreme in the alphabet. The Aleph is the first, the Mem is the middle, and the Tov is the last, to tell us that the truth is not easily found. And a third principle is that Sheker has one leg that comes down to the bottom, the foot of the regal, the foot of the kuf, while Emes has a complete base to teach us that the truth will stand, while Sheker will not stand, it will fall, because nothing can stand on one leg. These are the three principles which he taught us. Now let's go into these three principles. The first one, the Sheen stands for Sheker, and the Tov stands for Emes. We can ask a question. If the Sheen stands for Sheker, so then we should say the Aleph stands for Emes, because the first letter of Sheker is Sheen, and the first letter of Emes is Aleph. So we should say then, if the Sheen stands for Sheker, then the Aleph stands for Emes. Why does he say the Tov stands for Emes? He's taking the first letter of the word Sheker, that's the Sheen, and the last letter of the word Emes. Why? So on this, the Maral explains in the Sivo Emes, when you come to Sheker, the beginning can also be Sheker. When you come to truth, though, you cannot go after the beginning. You have to go after the end. Many, many times when people say lies, when they start with a Dvar Emes. They start with something true. You don't know if something is true or something is false until you've heard it all. And this is what the Gemara always says, Hakol Holech Achar Achisum, that everything goes after the final seal. If you're writing a contract, you don't look at the beginning of the contract and then accept it. You read through the entire contract. And only after you've read through the entire contract and it's sealed, you put the signature on. And a signature was known as a seal. Why was it known as a seal? That's what the word chose means, chasima. To sign your name is called chasima. And why is that called a seal? Because that represented the end of the contract where no one else can add anything. They would always put a seal there, a mark, to show that anything that was written till the mark is accepted. Anything that will be written afterwards, no, this is not, this was not agreed upon. This was the seal, this was the closure. And Akol Helech Achar Achisum, when you judge truth, you have to judge it in its entirety. And therefore, truth is only known through its entirety. So Sheker, that's the first letter. The first letter of Sheker is the Sheen. But Emes cannot be judged by its first letter, the Aleph. Emes has to be judged by its final letter, which is the Tov. And therefore he said, Tov represents Emes. This is why the final letter of the alphabet represents Emes. So why, from all the letters of the alphabet, does the last letter represent Emes? Because Hakol Helech Achar Chisum. Because when it's coming to judge truth or falsehood, we have to hear the entire story. And therefore, the last letter of the alphabet is which represents Emes. Actually, the Gemara says something similar to this. The Gemara says, Reish Devorcho Emes. The beginning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words were truthful. So the Gemara asks, what does that mean? What does it mean the beginning of his words were truthful? The beginning and not the end? Because the first words that Klal Yisrael heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai was, Anechi Hashem Elokecho, I am the Lord your God. Many thought when they heard that, Lichved Atzmei Hu Derish, that he's only interested in his own honor, and that's why he's commanding us that we must serve him. But later on, when they heard, Kavir Es Avicha V'Simecho, that you shall honor your father and mother, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not only interested in his own honor, he was interested in other people's honor also. Therefore they said, Reish Devorcho Emes, even the beginning of his words were also truthful. So we see that from the first words, you could not really tell if it's truthful or not. You only know when is it truthful, that's when it's entirely completed. And the Emes is perfection. And when is something perfect? Only when it's completed. That's why also the Gemara tells us, Ches Meishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every king had a seal. They would have a seal, a certain emblem, that they would seal documents with. Or they had a ring that had the seal. And they had a banner which represented the seal. What is the banner, what is the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Almighty? So the Gemara says, Emes. He seals everything with Emes. Because everything must go after the completion. And therefore, this is represented by the Emes. So it's not represented by the beginning, it's represented by the end. Therefore, the Sheen refers to Sheker, to falsehood. That's the beginning of the word Sheker. But the Toth, the last letter, refers to Emes, which is the last letter of the word Emes, and also the last letter of the entire alphabet. From this statement, we learn something else also. If Sheen represents Sheker, and Toth represents Emes, we see they're written right next to each other in the alphabet. Why should they be written right next to each other? There cannot be two greater opposites, two greater extremes than falsehood and truth. So they should be written far away from each other. Here we see they're written right next to each other. Sheen, Tov. The answer for this is, truth must be, as we mentioned, the complete truth. Not like many people think, the Maral writes, that if most of it is true, then it's true. A lot of times we say things or we do things, and most of it is true. So therefore we consider it's true. Im reiv hadvorim emes, then it's emes. This is not so, like we just explained. That's why the Gemara is telling us that the Tov, the last letter of the word Emes, represents truth, not the first letter of the word. The truth must be the entire truth. If it's not 100% true, then it's not true, then it's Sheker. Even if it's missing one little fraction of the truth, no longer is it true. And that's why the two letters are written right next to each other. Because if you deviate from the Emes, just one letter, you come to the Sheen, which stands for Sheker. If you deviate one iota from the truth, then you're already in falsehood. Not to say that since most of it is true, it will be considered truth. Incidentally, when we're speaking here of Emes and Sheker, this doesn't only mean when a person says something. It doesn't only mean what he says. We're speaking here in the entire concepts of the world, when it has to do with issues, undertakings, projects, mitzvahs, to understand something, to learn something, or a certain quality in a person. All of this has to be approached with emes, with truth. A person must put his efforts behind something which is true. He must oppose something which is not true. Also, we're not only speaking about being true to others, we're speaking also about being true to oneself also. Many times we deceive ourselves. We don't understand something, and we convince ourselves that we do understand it. We support a certain project that we might know that is not the proper project, but we convince ourselves for convenience sake that it's all right. Sometimes we oppose things that we shouldn't oppose. Sometimes we assist where we shouldn't assist. So the concept of MS includes all of these types. Now, so therefore we're learning that when it comes to Sheker, the very beginning can designate that it's false. When it comes to MS, only the end designates if it's true. Until then, you do not know if it's true. Because if it's all true, but the very end is not true, it will be Sheker. And that's why the last letter in the alphabet refers to truth. Secondly, the Sheen and the Aleph are written right next to each other. The Sheen and the Tof are written right next to each other. Because if you deviate from the truth, just one little iota, then you come to the Sheen. And that's Sheker. And from here we can expound this also from the way Emes is written. Emes is written Aleph, Mem, Sof. If you take away the Aleph, what do you have? You have Mace, which means death. And Aleph is the smallest letter of the alphabet. This denotes that if you take the smallest thing away from the truth, then not only it's not truth, but it's Mace, it's death. And a little later on we'll see that death is something which relates itself directly to Sheker, to falsehood. That was the first principle. The second principle that the Gemara teaches us is Shikra Shchiach Kushta Leishchiach. The word Sheker is written from three letters in the alphabet which are right next to each other, to tell us that it's easy to write Sheker, while the word Emes is written with three letters that come from all over the alphabet to tell us that it's difficult to write Emes. And this is to teach us, because Sheker is easy, but Emes is very difficult. Why is it? Why is it so easy to find falsehood and it's so difficult to find something which is true? And this, there are two reasons. The first reason is because falsehoods there can be many, while truth there can be only one. For example, if you come to a person and you show him a picture of a man and you ask him, what is this? So there's only one answer. He's a man. So there's only one truthful answer. On the other hand, if you want to say lies, so you could say he's an animal. You could say he's a bird. You could say he's a stone. You could say he's a tree. We could go on endlessly. Now this is a very important principle. The truth is always only one. Lies, there's no end to it. So therefore, lies are easy to find. Falsehood is easy to find. The truth, you have to search for. And that's why it's easy to write the letter Sheker, because you copy three letters which are right next to each other in the Hebrew alphabet. It's almost spelled out for you yourself. But if you write Emes, it's very difficult. You have to find the first letter of the Aleph Beis, Then you have to go all the way to the middle of the Aleph Beis to find the Mem, and then you have to go all the way to the end. You have to go through the entire alphabet in order to write Emes. What is this teaching us? That you have to go through an entire world to find truth. The Hebrew alphabet has a tremendous significance to it. Why? Because the Chazal, the sages, tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with it. See, when he created the world and he said, Yehi Or, let there be light, and let there be animals, let there be vegetation, he did this in Lashon HaKodesh with the Hebrew words in the Hebrew alphabet. So therefore, that's one reason why sheker, falsehood, is so common, and emes is so difficult to find. Because sheker is many, there are many falsehoods, while the truth is only one. There's another reason also, a deeper reason. And that is, the source of all truth, as we'll see soon, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the source of all truth. And in this world, the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concealed. You have to look hard if you want to find it. Not that it cannot be found, but there are many things in this world that try to conceal that light. And the Chazal tell us that's the reason why this world is called Alma de Shikra, the world of falsehood. And that's the reason why this world is called Olam. And Olam comes from the Hebrew word helem, this alem, which means to hide, to conceal. This world has a task to do. Its task was to conceal the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it has great talents in which it can make it very difficult for a person to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And this is what the sages say, what is written in the Torah, V'hoyo b'yom ahu Yashem echod u'shmeyachod, that on that day HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be one and his name will be one. That means on that day in the world to come, in the next world, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be one and his name will be one. But in this world he does not appear to be one and his name is divided. Because there are all types of forces, tremendous forces of evil in this world, which fight against the Malchus Hashem, the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's so difficult to find truth in this world. So therefore, the Gemara tells us this principle. Sheker is written with three letters right next to each other because it's easy to find. But emes are written with three letters which are from the extremities of the alphabet because they are very difficult. It is very difficult to find. Let's go to the third principle that the Gemara teaches us. And that is, sheker has one leg on the ground. And that is the leg of the kuf. While emes has a very, very solid base. Two legs from the aleph, a whole flat base from the mem, and two legs from the tof. To teach us kush tikoi shikra lekoi, that emes will stand forever, but falsehood will not stand. This principle is also found in Mishlei. In Mishlei, which was written by Shlema Melech, the wisest of all men, in Mishlei Yud Beis, Posuk Yud Tes, he writes, Fas emes tikain lo ad, that words of truth will stand forever. If a person is fighting for the truth, he shouldn't become discouraged. Because even though he finds tremendous opposition, and that's for the reasons that we've mentioned, because he's working in a world where truth is very difficult to find, he should not become discouraged.
Because Shlomo HaMelech tells us, "Vasemes tikein la'ad." Whatever a person says, and it's true, it has the quality of truth in it. Whatever a person does, and it has the quality of truth, it will stand forever. Whether we witness it or not, it will not become lost. Ve'ad argio l'shein shoker. But only for the smallest minute will the words of falsehood stand. If a person sees so much falsehood in the world, he should also not become discouraged, because it will not last. And this is the principle the Gemara is saying, kush tekoi shikra lekoi. What is true will stand. What is not true will not stand. What is the reason for this? The reason for this is, the simple reason, is because MS is referring to a reality. When a person says something that's true or is doing something that's true, he's referring to something which is realistic, to a reality. Sheker is referring to fiction. It's referring to something which is a lie or something which is deceitful or something which is fiction. How can something which is fiction stand? There is no essence to it. Well, emes, which is referring to the truth, which is the reality, reality stands. Something which is real will stand. So this is the simple explanation of this. These are the three principles the Gemara teaches us. Now, with this introduction, we can go a little deeper. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei Omer Aleph, Chais Mei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The seal of the Almighty. Every king has an official seal, a royal emblem. What is the royal emblem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Truth. We can ask the question, why does the Almighty choose from all of the good qualities, why does He choose truth? There are so many good qualities in the Torah. He could choose chesed, loving kindness. He could choose rachamim, compassion. He could choose din, justice, or judgment. Why does He choose truth? Now the answer to this, there are two answers. And these are very deep. So we'll have to give good thought to it. The Almighty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Echad. He is one. Two things we can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is one, and He is the Metzius. He is the essence. What does this mean? Sages tell us, in many places we have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, that there is nothing else in the world similar to the oneness of the Almighty. What does this mean? What does it mean that He's one, and there's nothing similar to His oneness? When you want to find the source of something, then you have to go back to find its origin, where it comes from. The single origin. For example, if you have a tree and it has many fruits and many branches, you want to find its source. So you know the branches and the fruits are not the source. So you'll have to go to the trunk of the tree. But that's not its source. So you'll go deeper and you'll go to the roots of the tree. As long as there are many roots, you have not reached the source yet. Only when you find the single seed that it came from. That will be its source. Or for example, a mighty river. If you follow a river, and you'll find that there are many, it's branching, many rivers which are branching from other rivers, and you keep following them. And you come now to one river, and you follow that, and you follow that into the mountains, and you see that it's coming out of the mountains, and there is a little stream, and there is a spring, and you come to its very source. Now when you come to a single source, you know that that's its beginning. Everything in this world, that there are literally billions upon billions of different things in this world, if we want to find their beginning, we have to go back and go back into their source until we come to one source. When we find one source, then we know we have reached its origin. The one source for all of creation is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Almighty. So this is what is meant by the very deep concept when we say Hashem Echod, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. He is the only one, and at his level there's no other one. Everything comes from him. Now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, then he has a very close relationship to the truth. Because we mentioned that the truth also can only be one. When it comes to falsehoods or fiction, there can be many. But the truth can only be one. And in the Rosh Hashanah davening, in one of the tefillos, in one of the piyutim, it states, "Emes chesomai lahedia ki hu echod." The truth is one. Excuse me, "Emes chesomai." His seal is truth to teach us that he's one. So that's what we mean when we say Hashem is one. Now there's another quality in this. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Metzius. He is the only reality, true reality in the world. What does this mean? That he's the only true reality in the world? Firstly, he gives the energy to everything else in the world. He's the source of all of the energy in the world. He's the source of all creation. So therefore, everything depends on him. While he's not dependent on anyone else. Therefore, nothing can compare with his reality. And secondly, the Almighty has to be. Nothing else had to be. Everything that was created, it was created because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create it. So it didn't have to be. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to be. Because he exists. So therefore, he's the true reality. The Rambam writes some of these things that we're saying, which we'll just quote some. That the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, writes, this is very important, he says, the Yesod HaYesodis V'Amud HaChochmas, that the foundation of all foundations and the pillars of all wisdom is to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, he was the first one that existed. He causes all other existence, and everything that's in the world exists only because of him. If a person might think that he does not exist, then nothing else can exist. If a person might think that nothing else exists, he can still exist. Because everything is dependent on him, and he is not dependent on anyone else or on anything else. And then the Rambam writes as follows: "Lefichoch ein amitosei ke amitos echod mehem." Therefore, the truth of the Almighty cannot be compared to the truth of anything else in the world. Now, what does he mean, the truth of the Almighty? What does this have to do with the truth? So here he's telling us this concept. Because the truth, this signifies something which is there. Something which exists. And this is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because everything else is dependent on his existence. Everything else was created by him. And the only power in the world that is truly independent is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, nothing is equal to his truth. This is what the Rambam writes. And he says, "Hu shehanovi eimer v'Hashem Elokim emes." And this is what we always say, "Hashem Elokim emes," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is true. "Hu levadoi ho emes, ve'ein le'echod emes kamitosei." The quality of truth in the Almighty cannot compare to the quality of truth anywhere else. The quality of truth anywhere else cannot compare to the Almighty's truth. "Hu levadoi emes." Only he has the greatest quality of truth. And this is also what is mentioned in the Torah, "Ein od milvadoi," that therefore nothing else exists besides him. Because nothing else can be compared to his existence. Since he gives energy and he gives existence to everything else, and everything else is dependent on him. And he, therefore, he is the Echod, the ultimate single source of the entire world. And he is the Metzios, the reality of the world. While everything else just grows from him. It would be a comparison where you see a mighty river, but the river comes from its source. Or you see a plant, that the plant comes from its seed. Now, this gives us a greater depth why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the seal of Emes, of truth, to be his seal. Because he's the only truth in the world. Everything else does not have that quality of truth. When it comes to the perfect truth, this can only be by the Almighty. Therefore, he chose this seal to be his royal seal, his royal banner. Now, from here we can understand some of the things a little better which we mentioned before. First of all, we said before, kushtikoi, shikra lekai, the truth will stand forever, falsehood will not stand. We can understand this. Now, why? Because if a person works for the truth, then he is working with something which is a reality. He is working with something that has an attachment to the Almighty. Therefore, it will have existence. While if a person works for falsehood, he's working with something that doesn't have any attachment to the Almighty. And since the Almighty is the source of the entire world and is the source of all existence, then it cannot exist. Therefore, why does the Emes have such a solid base? Because that will stand forever. Falsehood has only one foot because that will fall. Because Shikra Lekoi, that cannot stand. This is what the Gemara tells us. That Yaakov Avinu Leimes. Yaakov, the Gemara says, never died. And the Gemara asks the question, but we see in the Torah that he died. So the Gemara says, physically he died. But really, Yaakov never died. He lived forever. This is what the Gemara tells us. Now, exactly to understand what the Gemara means, that's another discussion. But why Yaakov from all of the Ovis of Avraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov. Why Dafke Yaakov didn't die? And he lived forever. Because Yaakov, the Gemara says, was Midosei Emes. His quality was the quality of truth. Ishtam. And if his quality is truth, then that is something which is attached to the Almighty. And that must always live. When it comes to falsehood, that has to do with death. Like we mentioned before. Because truth brings after it the reality, while falsehood is fiction. Therefore, it brings after a vacuum. And this is what death is. A total vacuum. Therefore, the Gemara tells us, Yaakov lemeis, Yaakov never died. From here we can understand another statement that the sages tell us. The sages tell us in Sanhedrin, Sarek Beis Omer Aleph, Hamachlif Diburai, Kila Eber Avedizora. Someone who says something and he goes back on his word, it's as if he worships idolatry. Yeah. If someone says he'll do something, or someone says that I'll give you something, and he goes back on his word, is that if he's worshipping idolatry. What's the reason? Because when a person deals in falsehood, in sheker, then he's not dealing with that which is a reality, with that which is existence. He's dealing with fiction. And idolatry is fiction. Because idolatry is worshipping gods which do not exist. And therefore, someone who does not keep his word, he must realize it's as if he's serving idolatry. Because he's going after that what is fiction, that what is not here. And this tells us how important it is that a person must keep his word, whatever he says. We must be very careful when it comes to guarding the truth or guarding falsehood or guarding ourselves from falsehood. The Gemara brings an example of this. Gemara brings in Masech the Brochus and Avdalet Omer Aleph Ke Amar Hashem Ke Chatzeis HaLailo Ani Yetze B'Seich Mitzrayim. When Hashem came to Moshe and he told Moshe, go to Paray and tell him that I am going to come through Egypt at midnight, 12 o'clock midnight, and I will smite all of the firstborn. So Moshe went to Paray and he said, Kachatzeis HaLailo, about midnight Hashem said he is coming into Egypt. Kei amar Hashem kachatzeis alayla ani yetze b'seich Mitzrayim. Havelei loymar b'chatzi alayla. What did Moshe say about midnight for? Moshe went to Paro and he said, this is what Hashem has said, that about midnight I'm going to come into Egypt. Why did he say about midnight? Approximately midnight. He should have said at midnight. Why approximately? Elomar Meisha. Meisha said like this. Shema yitu atstagmine pare. How does Egypt tell time? They tell time through their astrologers. They will tell time through the sun and through the stars. Maybe his astrologers do not have the exact time. Maybe they'll be off a bit. And they will say that Moshe Badoi Havi, when 12 o'clock midnight will come, and they'll see that Hashem hasn't come through Egypt yet, and really it's not 12 o'clock, really it's a quarter to 12, but according to their calculation, their clocks will not be exact, so it'll be 12 o'clock. So they'll say that Mesha's a liar. And Mesha didn't want that. So therefore, instead of telling them that Hashem is coming through at 12, he said HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming approximately at 12 o'clock. So now when it was a quarter after 12 and Hashem still didn't come, they didn't think Mesha was a liar because he said approximately 12 o'clock. At 12:30 Hashem came. So then they knew that what he said was true. So the Gemara says, but what did Mesha worry about this for? First of all, why did Mesha have to worry about what Parai and the Atzdignine Parai would think, the astrologers would think? What did he have to worry about them for? Secondly, even if they thought he was a liar, but in 20 or 30 minutes they would realize that he was telling the truth. So the Gemara says, from here we see, Lamad Lishencha Leimer Ein Yodia Dei Hashem Et Yisbadeh V'Te'echos. From here a person should train himself to say, I don't know, rather than to say something that will not be 100% correct. He should teach himself to say, I don't know, rather than to say something that is not 100% correct. This is how careful we have to be for the truth. Mesha told Parai, he changed what Hashem said that he should say, and he told Parai differently, all for the reason that Parai and his wicked astrologers shouldn't think for a period of 20 or 30 minutes that Mesha was a liar. This is how far one has to be careful never to say anything which is not true, or even if it is true, to say something in a way where people will think he's lying. So careful we have to guard the truth. The Kotzker Rebbe used to say that the Gemara says that harchokos rabbonon of the beharchoko, that the rabbis used to make harchokos, they used to make laws to keep us far away from transgressing a mitzvah in the Torah. So this means that usually every harchoko, every time a law was made to keep us far away, this is a drabonon, this is a from the rabbis, not from the Torah. He says there's one exception to that, and that is when it comes to truth and falsehood. Because there the Torah says, midvar sheker tirchok, that a person should keep far away from falsehood. It doesn't say you shall not say a lie. It says, midvar sheker tirchok, you should keep far away from falsehood. This teaches us that not only we're commanded not to tell a lie, but we must keep very, very far away from falsehood. I once heard a story, which I've mentioned here several times. I heard this from Rav Futner Zochein Uvrocha, which he said this over from the Chem de Shleima. The Chem de Shleima was the Rav of Warsaw. Very, very great Gaon. And he was once at a simcha, and they were eating, and he was talking with someone, and he was engrossed in his talking. And he took a drink, and there was cake on the table. So someone asked him, Rebbe, aren't you supposed to take some cake first, because the brocha on cake comes before you make a brocha on something to drink? And the person was right. And the Chem de Shleima, who was engrossed in this conversation that he was having with someone else, had forgotten this. He wasn't at that moment, he wasn't cognizant of it. He held, though, that if he would tell this person he made a mistake, he held it would be a chilul Hashem. It wouldn't be a good reflection. That here the Rav of Warsaw shouldn't be careful when it comes to brochas. So he told the person, I don't eat cake. He said, I don't eat cake. And from that day on, he never ate cake again. In order to be me'ames devorov. In order that what he said shouldn't have been a lie. This is how careful the Gedeli Mora, when it came, was speaking truth or falsehood. From here we can understand now. From here we understand that if a person wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants to serve Hashem, he's going to have to be an Ish Emes, a truthful person. And again, we're not only speaking about what you say is truthful. He must be truthful in its entirety. He must be true in speech. He must be true in actions. He must be true in commitments. If he says he'll do something, then he must do it. Not that, like we find so often, someone says, yes, I'll do it, and tomorrow he changes his mind. I changed my mind. He must be true in undertakings. He must be true to others, and he must be true to himself. And from this we can understand that if the reason why truth is so precious is because it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Almighty is the only power of truth in the world. He's the source of all truth. And the truth is one. And falsehood is many. But the truth is only one. So from here we can see that if a person wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first thing he's going to have to do is train himself to be very true. And actually, the Vilna Gaon writes in the letter, the great Gaon of Vilna, he wrote a letter to his family when he was going to go to Eretz Yisrael. He never went, but he was going to go and then bring his family over afterwards. So he wrote a letter. So when he wrote that how they should take care of the children, he writes that they should train them to tell the truth. Should be very strict with them when it comes to telling the truth. Teach them to speak only the truth. Not shkorim, not something that's lies. So from here we can see that if a person wants to grow in Avedas Hashem and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it can come only through Torah. Because Torah is the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov Avinu, whose quality was truth, the Gemara says, what was his quality truth? Because it says, Ish Tam, he was a man of truth, Yoshev Olim, who sat in the tents of Torah. And Teres Hashem Temimo, the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is complete and is true. Now notice it says, by Yaakov Tam, which means Sholem, complete. It wasn't that he was mostly true. Truth can be judged only by its completion. And the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is true. Therefore, if you come to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this can be through his Torah, because this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's truth, is revealed to us through his Torah, we can understand that if a person does not have Midas HaEmes in him, to the nth degree, the greatest degree of truth in himself, he won't be successful in Torah, and he won't be successful in coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this the Gemara tells us. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Seita, Mem Beis Omer Aleph, Dalet Kita Yisei Nereis B'nei Shechina. There are four groups of people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not let them close to him. And two of them have to do with people who do not tell the truth. One is Kat Shkorim, those who speak lies, and the other is Kat Hanofim, those who flatter people falsely. That you come to someone that you don't like and you tell them all kind of good things, and someone that doesn't do good things and you tell them all kind of good things. Flatterers and liars, these are two of the groups that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they will not see his presence. The other two are Devrei Arleitzim, those who are scoff, those who scoff at things, scoffers, and the other is Balei Loshon Hora, those who speak Loshon Hora, those who speak slander about others. But the two that are relevant to us are those who speak lies. And the reason is because this is contrary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only is he truth, he's the truth of the entire world. And therefore, a person has to work on this quality with great effort. In summary, In summary, we can learn a lot from what we've said this evening. First of all, we can learn that if a person wants to go in the Derech Emes, in the true way, he must realize it's not going to be easy. If he wants to go in the easy way, then there's plenty easy ways in the world. But if he wants to go in the true way, it's not going to be easy. And that's what the Gemara tells us. That's why the word sheker is very easy to write. It's almost written itself. But the word emes, you have to go through the entire alphabet to write the word emes. When you go through the entire alphabet, that's like going through a whole world. Because emes leishkiach. Emes is not easy to find. Another thing we can learn here, that we shouldn't be impressed with numbers. The nations of the world, the Gemara says, are impressed with numbers. Klal Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Ama'at mina amim, you're the smallest of the nation. I didn't choose you because of your great numbers. We get too many times swept away with the nations of the world, where immediately we want to know numbers. How many, how many, how many? That's all we're impressed with. Quantity is related to sheker. You know, we live in a time of duplication. Today we can duplicate anything. We can duplicate millions of Rembrandts. And that's the fiction, that's the sheker. Because there can be only one Rembrandt. The rest are duplications. I remember not long ago when duplicators came out. So there was an article that I read that there was becoming a tremendous paper problem. It used to be that you wanted to make a copy of something, it was an effort, so you didn't make too many copies. But once the duplicating machines came out, so offices got so clogged up with paper that they didn't know what to do. There was a problem of filing and space and personnel and whatnot, because everybody was grinding out copies. This is the world that we're living in. It's a world that thinks only of duplications, only of counterfeits, only of quantity. Quality? Who thinks of quality? Mass production. The emes is only one. There is only one emes, while the sheker is plenty. So don't be impressed by numbers. Don't be swept away with values. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that all 70 nations are much greater in number than you. But I chose you because you were the smallest of all of the nations, not because you were the greatest in number of all of the nations. The Gemara says, Elef Nichnas, the Echod Yetzei Lahiro. 1,000 will go in to learn. Only one will come out from that 1,000 who will be Roy, who will be capable of teaching, of instruction. Torah wasn't impressed by the 1,000, they were impressed in that 1 in 1,000. This is the truth. We're not interested in all of the fiction. That's another great principle that we must learn. A third great principle that we must learn is that when we go out into the world, we are constantly challenged by the falsehood. Constantly challenged by the falsehood, because this is a world of falsity. The truth is hidden. It was man's task to find the truth. It was man's task, and in particular Yisrael's task, to spread the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his Torah to the world. Because he is the source of all truth in the world. And it's not apparent. It has to be, the Gemara says, only with great tircho, only with great effort, can it be found. That's why we find that anything that is here, found easily, we don't put much value on it. Because that already seems to relate to sheker. Precious things are concealed. When it comes to, even in the materialistic world, the gold and the silver and the diamonds and the pearls are found in the depths. and you have to dig for them. And that's why everything that you might see on television, or everything that you might read in the newspaper, which is at fingertip touch, but everything that you might read in a book, don't put much value on that. Don't put much value at all on that. But it's what you have to search for. Shlomo HaMelech said, and Dovid HaMelech said, that the truth you must search in the depths for, like you have to search for gold and silver. What you have to toil for. What is concealed, and you have to reveal. This is the task that was given to Adam, to man. To search for the truth, and to reveal it. These are the three great principles that this man taught when he came into the Beis HaMidrash, and he said that he expounded the entire Aleph Beis, every letter. And in regards to Emes, he taught us three great principles. Firstly, that the Sheen stands for Sheker, and the Tov stands for Emes. The first letter of the Sheker, because from the beginning you can tell if it's a lie, but only from the last letter of Emes can you tell if it's true. Because truth must be truth in its entirety. And they're right next to each other, because if you deviate from the truth just a little bit, then it's already Sheker. The second principle he taught us is that Sheker, the letters, are right next to each other, because that's easily found in this world. But the truth, these are letters from the entire Aleph Beis. The Aleph and the Mem and the Tov. You have to go through an entire Aleph Beis. Sheker can almost write itself. But Emes, you'll have to go through the entire Aleph Beis to write. Because that's not found very easily in this world. And thirdly, the Sheker has just one leg on the ground. The leg of the Kuf. Because Leikoi, and it will fall. But Emes, that has such a solid base, that will last forever. And that we find that with all of the falsehood that we find in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still here, His Torah is still here, and Yisrael is still here. Until the Bias HaMashiach, when then the truth will spread over the entire world, the Gemara says, like the waters will cover like the waters cover the sea.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.